taken from Colossians, 3rd chapter, verse 15. Colossians 3:15. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ richly dwell within you, with all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks through him to God the Father.
I brought my songbook up here with me this morning because Justin did such a good job of picking songs that go with the lesson. And I wanted to comment on something here in To God Be the Glory. In number 44, on the third verse, it says, when buried with Jesus, a pardon received. That isn't how I've seen it written before, but I'm glad to see that somebody, either this is the original or the other is, I don't know what, but I'm glad to see these words here, because so often we sing songs that don't necessarily reflect the entire gospel, and certainly some songs can't. But here you have the idea of being buried with Jesus, a pardon to receive. Again, another reminder, even in our songs, that we must be buried with Jesus in order to have forgiveness of sins. We must go to him as those who recognize that we are dead in our sins and that we are appealing to him for a clean conscience, appealing to him for a new life, appealing to him to become a new creation, to be born again. And so it's so good to see those things in our songbooks. This morning our lesson is about a woman who endured much grief. And as I was trying to develop my lessons this week, I did not intend for this to be the lesson. But it seemed like everything that I turned to on this subject kept coming back to her. So the hero of today's lesson is Hannah. Hannah from 1 Samuel in chapter 1. Hannah, who was a woman who had a husband named Elkanah, and he had more than one wife, which was not so uncommon in those days. In our Bible class this morning, we read of David, who had two wives, really three at the time, and later many, many more. But there were two women in the household, and sometimes you see in the Bible that that works moderately, and sometimes it doesn't work well at all. Most of the time, it creates a lot of friction between those women who are married to the same husband. When I was teaching at a college, I had a coworker who was from Ethiopia, and he had six mothers, so to speak. There were about 18 children, and they grew up together, one father and all the mothers and all the children together, and they got along relatively well. But in this case, the two women in the household were at odds. They were at conflict because there was this competition perhaps going on, this little bit of I'm better than you because I can have a lot of children and you haven't had any. And so Peninnah would continually provoke Hannah over the fact that Hannah had no children and that Peninnah had several. Now the husband loved them both, but I think it seems he loved Hannah even more. Maybe in a sense he felt sorry for her, knew that she wanted to give children but was not able. So I'll turn this on and we can take a look at our lesson today. In 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 2, it says, now there was a certain man from Ramathaim Zophim, from the hill country of Ephraim, and his name was Elkanah, the son of Jehoram, the son of Elihu, the son of Tohu, the son of Zuph, an Ephraimite. Now this is one of the great things that we should always make note of about the Bible. There's a great difference between mythology and history. When you read mythology, it goes like this. Once upon a time in a land far away. And you don't get anything specific. You don't get anything real. You don't get any chronological or geographical connection to reality. But when we're talking about history, you get things like this. They'll tell you this guy's name and his lineage, where he's from and where his daddy was from, you know. This is truth. This is history. He had two wives. The name of one was Hannah, and the name of the other Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man would go up from his city yearly to worship and to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts in Shiloh. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests to the Lord there. Now you would think that the temple would be a great place to be and that good things would be happening there. Just like sometimes we have visitors come to church and they find out that we aren't as holy as they thought we were, you know. And they say, wow, well, these people are not always getting along with each other. These people aren't always doing exactly everything the Lord says to do. And they sometimes they get put off by that. But if you're a visitor today, realize we are human. And we do our best to follow God most of the time, but we sometimes make our mistakes. But these guys were a glaring example of people who totally disregarded and in fact didn't even know the will of God. And they were in that position of being priests before the Lord, and yet completely breaking the rules in ways that I'm not even going to go into today. You could read it yourself. But it says, when the day came that Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah his wife and to all her sons and her daughters. But to Hannah he would give a double portion, for he loved Hannah, but the Lord had closed her womb. So now we know Peninnah had at least two sons and at least two daughters. So there are at least four children, because we see sons and daughters in the plural. Why would God do a thing like that? Hannah seemed like a nice girl. Why not let her go ahead and have children? Well, I mean, why are we talking about her today? And why do you sometimes grieve over things and struggle with things? And do you ever think that perhaps God is developing your faith? And God is developing your faithfulness? And God is developing your trust in Him? And this is what was happening with her. And in fact, a few thousand years later, here we are today reading about this woman who had faith in God. Because the outcome of this story is good. For her and for her husband. Why would God do that? Well, for example, here we are reading about her as a great example today. Hannah, a faithful example to us today. Hannah was worshiping God through her tears. And sometimes some of you come with a heavy heart. Sometimes some of you come with sorrows and things that no one else here knows about. But God knows and God cares. 1 Samuel 1, 6-8, her rival, speaking of Peninnah, however, would provoke her bitterly to irritate her because the Lord had closed her womb. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her, so she wept and would not eat. How would you like it if every time you came to church, somebody was poking you in the side with a stick, you know? Say, well, you came here to worship God. You came here to give an offering. You came here to take communion. You came here to sing. You came here to pray. You came here to hear a message. But something, you know, someone is just provoking you. Can you imagine that situation? But she didn't give up. She just kept on coming, kept on coming back. Every year, every time that they would have a festival or a feast that they were supposed to be at, she would come. Even under these conditions, she would still come. She didn't give up. She didn't stop. It happened year after year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she would provoke her. So she wept and would not eat. Then Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Hannah, why do you weep? And why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not better to you than 10 sons? When people would bring their sacrifices to God, part of the practice was to have that cooked, and then it would also be eaten, which again would be part of what was going on in the mind of the person, that God was teaching them that whenever a person commits a sin, something has to die because of that sin, and that sin is equivalent to death spiritually. And so in offering the sacrifice for their sins and in eating the sacrifice, it was part of their worship to God. But she couldn't get to that part of eating it because she was so provoked and so upset by what Peninnah was doing to her. Just gloating. There was Peninnah over there with all of her children, eating of the sacrifice and gloating. We can read of Hannah in a life of struggle that seemed unbearable. She loved her husband. He loved her. But the children she so wanted to give him seemed so impossible to conceive. Meanwhile, the other wife provided child after child and hatefully rubbed it in at every opportunity. Hannah, wife, soon to be mother, an example for us. Hannah had her prayer, and in her prayer she said, God, if you will give me a son, I will never cut his hair. He will be as a Nazarite. He will be one who is dedicated to you, devoted to you, in your service all the days of his life. So Hannah rose after eating and drinking in Shiloh. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat by the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She, greatly distressed, prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. She made a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your maidservant and remember me, and not forget your maidservant, but will give your maidservant a son, then I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life, and a razor shall never come on his head. Again, part of the Nazarite vow, part of being devoted to the Lord, that he would not drink any intoxicating beverages, that he would not eat anything unclean, and a razor would never come upon his head. Now it came about, as she continued praying before the Lord, that Eli was watching her mouth. As for Hannah, she was speaking in her heart. Only her lips were moving, but her voice was not heard. So Eli thought she was drunk. Then Eli said to her, how long will you make yourself drunk? Put away your wine from you. But Hannah replied, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do you ever pray that way? Where you pour out your soul before the Lord? Sometimes the Lord has to let us get distressed so that we'll pour ourselves out before Him, so that we'll recognize that we need Him, so that we'll seek Him and find His help and His blessing. Pouring out her soul before the Lord, her lips moving, but only God could hear what she was saying. Hannah replied, no, my Lord, I am a woman oppressed in spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Do not consider your maidservant as a worthless woman, for I have spoken until now out of my great concern and provocation. Then Eli answered and said, go in peace, and may the God of Israel grant your petition that you have asked of him. She said, let your maidservant find favor in your sight. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. So I think Eli the priest, who unfortunately didn't do a very good job with his sons Hophni and Phinehas, perhaps he himself may have prayed for her and certainly had a different attitude toward her after he understood her situation. So we can read of Hannah in a prayer of pain and know that she found faith and confidence at its end. Look at that again. So the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. After she poured herself out, she had confidence. She had faith. She was able to eat. She was able to have hope again for something that she'd been longing for years and had not yet received. Then they arose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord and returned again to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah had relations with Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her. It came about in due time after Hannah had conceived that she gave birth to a son, and she named him Samuel, saying, because I have asked him of the Lord. And Samuel appeared in this morning's lesson, didn't he? Samuel was one of the great prophets of God, and Samuel was a great help to many, and also a spokesman against some who were opposed to God and his will. Due time, after Hannah had conceived, she gave birth to a son. She named him Samuel, because I have asked him of the Lord. Then the man Elkanah went up with all his household to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, I will not go up until the child is weaned. Then I will bring him, that he may appear before the Lord and stay there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, Do what seems best to you. Remain until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord confirm his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. So we see her again wanting to do the appropriate thing. Maybe she was a little bit afraid that if she took him there before he was weaned, that someone might demand that he be given on that day, and she knew he wasn't ready. So she went, stayed home, her husband went, and then the next year when it came around, it was time for him to go. And in 1 Samuel 1, 24 through 25, Now when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, with a three-year-old bowl and one ephah of flour and a jug of wine, and brought him to the house of the Lord in Shiloh, although the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull and brought the boy to Eli. So they bring their gifts to God, and they bring their son to God, the son that they had prayed, that she had prayed for. Maybe her husband had too. But it was the only child that she had conceived. And she said, okay, Lord, I keep my promise. You've given to me, I give back to you. Hannah kept her promise and was blessed enormously. Enormously. Do I sound like Trump now? Enormously. She was blessed bigly. 1 Samuel 1, 26 through 28, she said, Oh, my Lord, as your soul lives, my Lord, I am the woman. Now she's talking to Eli here. I am the woman who stood here beside you praying to the Lord. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I have also dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. For this boy I prayed, and the Lord has given me my petition, which I asked of him. So I also have dedicated him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is dedicated to the Lord. And he worshiped the Lord there. Nice looking little boy, isn't he? How hard would that be? How hard would that be for a mother to keep that promise? But she understood. He came from God, and she's giving him to God. But she didn't forget about him. Hannah, wife, mother, and example. We can read of Hannah in a prayer of joy and praise and know that she was forever grateful to God for the love and blessings he bestowed upon her. Then Hannah prayed and said, My heart exults in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth speaks boldly against my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there is no one besides you, nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Can you think of a strong enemy, and they've got their recurve bow, and they're pulling it back as tight as they can pull it, and crack, pop, it hits them in the face. The bows of the mighty are shattered. They can't stand against God. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hire themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low. He also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. It kind of reminds me of Job, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I shall return. Those kind of thinkings, understandings, that everything belongs to God. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness, for not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered against them, and he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Then Elkanah went to his home at Ramah, but the boy ministered to the Lord before Eli, the priest. Now we also see that the very fact that he's living with Eli the priest means that he's in the presence of Hophni and Phinehas, two of the wickedest characters we read about in the Old Testament. Even though they were entrusted with the work of the Lord, they were continually fracturing every law that the Lord had conceived of and completely disregarding and disrespecting what they were supposed to be doing and the place, the task, and God who was connected to it. This is what Samuel grew up in. This is what this one who had been dedicated to God was exposed to. But yet I think we see the character of his mother in him, that he did not follow the evil examples, the negative examples of the evil sons of Eli. Now the sons of Eli, 1 Samuel 2, 12 through 14, the sons of Eli were worthless men. They did not know the Lord and the custom of the priest with the people. Now, wait a minute. How can that possibly be, considering their task? Anyway, when any man was offering a sacrifice, the priest's servant would come while the meat was boiling with a three-pronged fork in his hand. Then he would thrust it into the pan or the kettle or cauldron or pot. All that the fork brought up, the priest would take for himself. Thus they did in Shiloh to all the Israelites who came there. Okay, and that's contrary to what the Levitical system told them to do. Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw." In Kansas, we have a thing called a Kansas City Strip. You know, wherever you go throughout the world, butchers give pieces of meat different names, you know, just to make it sound cool. And so I don't really know what cut of meat that is. I think it's a really good sirloin. But Kansas City Strip, you know, and I can just, the other night I came home and I could smell my neighbor's cooking steak. Oh, man, that smelled so good. Last night I came home, I smelled whiskey. So I don't know, they must be over there having steak and whiskey or something. But anyway, oh, yeah, just think of how that meat tastes. And these guys are addicted to this smell and this taste. And they're not going to give this to God. They're, "Oh, give that to me. Give that to me. And if you don't give it to me, there's going to be trouble." Also, before they burned the fat, the priest's servant would come and say to the man who was sacrificing, "Give the priest meat for roasting, as he will not take boiled meat from you, only raw." If the man said to him, "They must surely burn the fat first and then take as much as you desire." In other words, the man is directing them back to the rule book, but they're saying, no, forget that rule book. We don't even know what you're talking about. "No, but you shall give it to me now. And if not, I will take it by force." Thus the sin of the young men was very great before the Lord, for the men despised the offering of the Lord. Wow. We learn that Hannah continued to care for her son after he went to serve in the temple. And I think that, again, this might be the example that we see of her influence in his life as he faces a life surrounded by these crazy Hophni and Phinehas evil guys. Kind of reminds you of the idea of Moses being raised in the Pharaoh's household, yet his mother was his nursemaid, unknown to the Pharaoh and her family. Perhaps she taught him the faith, the good character, to be able to face the challenges of living godly and serving faithfully instead of falling into the bad attitudes and actions of the wicked and condemned sons of Eli. And you know, the Bible tells us that she would bring him clothing. And so each year she would come, she'd visit him, she'd see how he was doing, and she would give him clothing. She continued to be an influence in his life. Samuel was ministering, 1 Samuel 2, 18 through 21. "Now Samuel was ministering before the Lord as a boy wearing a linen ephod, and his mother would make him a little robe and bring it to him from year to year when she would come up with her husband to offer the yearly sacrifice. Then Eli would bless Elkanah and his wife and say, 'May the Lord give you children from this woman in place of the one she dedicated to the Lord.' And they went to their own home. The Lord visited Hannah, and she conceived and gave birth to three sons and two daughters. and the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Now we know Peninnah had at least two sons and two daughters, but now we know that Hannah had three more sons, that makes four, and two daughters, that makes six. So the boy Samuel grew before the Lord. Now the boy Samuel was growing in stature and in favor both with the Lord and with men. Hannah was able to pray because Hannah believed that God could intervene. Hannah was willing to wait for the blessing. She went away from her prayer with confidence and hope. She knows that God keeps His promises, and she was willing to keep hers. And so what about us? These are the things that Hannah teaches us so long, long ago. You know, King David lived about 1,000 B.C. And now we're talking about 3,000 years later. And here is this woman still showing us how it is to trust in God today. How it is the only way to really get the good things that you might want. Sometimes God lets us struggle. Sometimes we worship through tears. Sometimes we endure devastating criticism, devastating provocation. But yet if we trust in God, it'll all be okay in the end. Because the day is coming when Jesus will return with His mighty angels in flaming fire, dealing out retribution to those who do not know God, nor the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. But those who have obeyed Jesus will go with Him to be with Him for eternity. They will go into the very presence of God. Even now, if we are in Jesus, we're able to approach the throne of God with confidence. We find blessings, we find mercy, we find grace, we find salvation when we are baptized into Jesus Christ. When we come to Him recognizing we're dead in our sins, recognizing that dead things need to be buried, and we come to Him believing and seeking salvation, and we're buried in baptism for the forgiveness of our sins, and we rise from that burial a new creation to walk a new life. I hope that Hannah's example, I hope that Hannah's example has been something that has influenced your life, something that's been good for you. And I hope and pray that each one of us, no matter what our struggle, will always remain faithful to God. So today we have an opportunity, we call it an invitation, and that's exactly what it is. Invitation to put on Christ in baptism, to be clothed in Him, to be buried if you understand that you're dead in your sins, and an opportunity also to meditate on the good things He's done for you. And if there's something that we can do for you spiritually today, we offer you an opportunity to come on up here and let us know while we stand and sing this invitation song.